Welcome to Psychic Cowgirl Radio with Shannon Lackman. Practical, insightful conversations to empower and inspire you on your personal journey. From her cattle ranch in Alberta, this sassy psychic cowgirl uses her connections to universal energies to guide you to greater awareness and wisdom.
Hey everybody, welcome to Psychic Cowgirl Radio. This is Shannon, and my voice probably sounds a little scratchy. I don't know if this is happening to all of you, but holy hay crops. Is this last part of October since the full moon been kind of crazy? My to-do list seems to grow, and it's all stuff that has to be done like today or tomorrow. It's not stuff I can procrastinate about or say, oh, no, I can get to that next week. It just is stuff I have to do now, and I'm thinking, where did the time go? How come I didn't realize all of this? Not really sure. Oh, maybe it all sped up. Maybe it just accelerated just to see if we could keep up. I don't know. So it feels like it's been weeks since I've been on, but it's only been a couple because I didn't have the show live last Tuesday because of the Thanksgiving and all the busyness, and I'd actually pre-recorded a show for you all that was really good, except for it wouldn't load. Really? Really? Then this morning I was getting ready, and I'd done all this research about some cool things I found about weddings, and I had like 9 pages of notes. And yesterday, I guess I forgot to hit that little save button on my Word document, because when I went to find it this morning about half an hour ago, it was nowhere to be found. And I thought, oh, are you kidding me? Then I had to giggle, because I know why. It's because my to-do list is big, and I have that, you know, multitasking energy going on, where I'm trying to do 17 things at once. And so details are getting missed, which then makes me giggle because it does fit in with my topic today, which is about weddings. Now, before I get to that, I have a few things I want to tell you, and I also want to let you know that I will be doing readings in the last part of the show. So if you have a question for me that you want some answers on, you just call right in, and I will absolutely take those calls. Okay, so first things first. Next week, Molly's back on the show, yay, to give us all those astrological insights and tell us what our power days are and what are the days where we need to be aware that they could be a little rocky. So I'm very happy about that. Here's the thing. It's not on Tuesday. We are actually going to do the show on Monday at 1 p.m. my time. So 1 p.m. Mountain Time, because remember how I said the energies were a little crazy the last few days? As I was driving home from the parent council meeting last night, you know, writing my speech for the Fierce Awards, which are actually on Monday evening, and if you have not got your tickets, please do. They're going to be fun. So I'm driving home. It's only a 10-minute drive, but I'm, you know, working on my speech in my mind and doing all that. I realized that on Tuesday morning, we're shipping cows. It's weaning day here, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, that's radio show morning. Oh, wait a minute, the truck's going to be here at 11 to take my calves. How am I going to fit all that in? Yikes! So I get home, and I quickly message Molly saying, I have a bit of a situation. I can't do the radio show Tuesday morning because I will be knee-deep in fertilizer of the pasture kind. And although, you know, it's good that it is radio because I could have done it later in the day and I won't smell so fresh, but, you know, you guys won't know that necessarily. But Molly and I had a nice chat and we decided we would do it on Monday to take the pressure off of me. Like, I don't know, seriously? Where the time is going, or how come I'm forgetting to write things on my calendar, no idea. hopefully Molly can give us some insight on that on Monday. That would be good. Hopefully that it's not going to be so crazy for the beginning of November. Okay, so the Energy Show with Molly is on Monday at 1 p.m. Mountain Time. And so Tuesday I'm going to replay that show in the morning, and you can think of me while I'm out swearing at my cows. No, probably not swearing at the cows. I'm pretty sure I'll be swearing at the bulls. Because as you all know, it's the bulls that cause me the trouble. They're the bratty ones. So yes, while you guys get to get updated with all the information, I'll be out there swearing. But it'll be fun. And then I can tell you about it the next show. But I have another surprise for you all. On Halloween Day, the 31st, Virginia's going to join me, and we are going to do a special Halloween show. And she's promised she won't scare me, but I don't know if I believe her. That's why I scheduled it for the morning. That way she scares me, I have the rest of the day in daylight to get over it. Because she likes to tell scary stories sometimes, and I'm the one that gets scared. So that is going to be on the 31st, and we're going to do it at 9 a.m. Mountain Time. So I hope you all tune in for that. I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen, but it's going to be a blast to have Virginia back on with me. Okay, and so what else do I have going on? Oh, I want to go back to the Fierce Awards. So that is Monday night, and I sponsor the Empower Awards. So I get to find out on stage who the winner is. And no, I haven't cheated and tuned in. I don't know. I want to be surprised along with everybody else. And I know the tickets are available until Friday. So any of you in the Edmonton area that would like to go to the Fierce Awards, it's at the Mayfield. And there's entertainment. And it's a really high energy evening. It feels really good to just be in the room and experience it. So I hope if you're thinking about it, you get a hold of Tamara right away so that you can come. Okay, I think that's all my housekeeping stuff I have. In November, I have some extra special shows coming, but I'll tell you about that then. I'm looking at my list. This has just been a crazy week. We have a Halloween dance that we're putting on in our community on Saturday, and so taking care of all those details just adds up and adds up, and yeah, it's going to be a blast, but while we're in the detail part, it does feel a little overwhelming, which does lead me into my topic about weddings. So I get to be the reverend. Now, having experienced weddings from being the bride's side twice, the first one was a traditional church wedding with the big celebration dance after and, you know, all the bells and the whistles. And it was fabulous. The marriage didn't work out, but the wedding was really good. The second one, we eloped, kind of. We had a surprise wedding. Not all the guests that were coming knew it was a wedding, and it was really, really small. My mom knew, and I believe we had told Brent's dad just before so he could make sure and be there. And we just had it in a hotel in Lethbridge because we wanted it really small. And then we had a big party later. Now, having experienced both, they were very different energies, very different energies. I mean, there was a lot of other things that went on with my first wedding. Like I got married in Montana and I immigrated and I crossed the border like the day before Halloween. That's when the official paperwork all went through, and the wedding was like November 4th or 5th or something. I don't know. It was a long time ago. So, you know, added to that, it was a little more chaotic, other weddings might be. And I found with my second wedding, I didn't want any of that, and that was a personal choice. I just wanted it to be about Brent and I and get married and then have the party later, because I wanted to focus on the ceremony for the first part. And again, that's a personal choice. So as I get to officiate these weddings, I can see patterns and I see things that happened at my own weddings and things that happen at every wedding. There's just some patterns and some, I don't know, energies, I guess we'll call it, that simply do happen at every wedding. So I want to give you guys some heads up, because if you know someone who is getting married, you can be supportive in this way when all these crazy things tend to happen and say, look, hey, this is just what happens with a wedding. It's just the energy of a wedding. I have found that talking about weddings, everyone has a story. Every single person. It's like having babies. Everybody has a story about that. And everybody talks about it. It becomes conversations on a regular basis. And so as I was talking to some of my friends about their weddings and stuff, again, they just reinforced to me those patterns that I've noticed with the weddings that I've officiated. One of them, I'll say the biggest one, is the guest list. It's a challenge because you have to decide who gets to come and who doesn't. Far, far, far from an easy task. And you worry about offending people. You worry about upsetting people. You worry, like, do we invite everybody's kids? Do we not invite everybody's kids? That's why it takes quite some time to plan a wedding, because it's very, very detail-oriented, and it can quickly spiral into overwhelming. And again, everybody seems to have an opinion on how your wedding should be. And I use the word should to give you a trigger point. When it starts to feel like shoulds and heavy, you have to take a step back. Each wedding I've done has kind of an archetype, I guess I'll call it, like an energy, and I've kind of related it to like a symbol. So some of them have been the complete fairy tale. As I'm talking with the bride, and it's always the brides I'm talking to, the grooms, they have a little bit of input, but they really, you know, don't usually want to be that involved. You know how that is, ladies. They're telling me about their dream wedding and how they're making it happen, and the excitement is tangible. It's huge. And they're telling me the story of how they met, and it all feels so romantic and like a fairy tale and a dream, and it's beautiful. That's at the beginning. And then the details start to happen. And it starts to feel like an obligation. And I always remind my brides, remember when we had that first conversation? Remember how that all felt? Always remember that. Because the bottom line of this event is to celebrate you and your groom making that commitment to each other. Yes, it's a party. Yes, there's millions of details to take care of. Yes, everybody has an opinion. But don't lose sight of the purpose. And it's really easy to do. How many brides are standing up there on the day of the actual ceremony and they're kind of tired or really tired? Because there's been so much energy and effort put into getting to this point that they seriously just want a nap. And then I have also noticed that after, like the few days after, there's that feeling of letdown because your energy has been so focused on this event for such a period of time that when it's over, you feel like you're missing something or you forgot something, or and you probably end up going over the details and finding those things you wish you would have done and didn't. I hope you all let that go quickly. You can go there, you can experience it, and then let it go. It's like Christmas morning when you're a kid, right? There's that anticipation, there's that excitement, and then you tear through all those presents and you get to see what you have, and then there's a little bit of a letdown after because it's like, oh, well, that's over. Or even the next day, well, that's over. We, you know, planned and built up this day for like, what, 2 hours of pure excitement, and then what? So keep that in mind. If you're planning a wedding or if you are helping someone plan theirs, there's lots of energies that go into it. I'm going to go back to the guests. Here's another interesting thing I have found at weddings, and I'm going to caution you brides about it. just so you're aware of it and so that you don't take it on as your issue, because it's not. Weddings are emotional, not just for the bride and the groom and the wedding party and the parents. It's also emotional for guests. Now let's think about that for a minute. Here you are going to a wedding. Weddings have powerful energy. The whole event is very significant. It tends to trigger, if you will, some emotions in people that may not be happy ones. If one of the guests is attending and they've been recently divorced, it's a little bit like pouring salt on a wound. If one of the guests attending really, really, really wants to get married and their partner just won't commit, a little like pouring salt on a wound. If one of the guests' partner has crossed over and they're missing them horribly and they're attending this wedding, not always that comfortable for them. But here's the thing, that has nothing to do with the bride and the groom. And if the guests are aware, they could take that opportunity to feel what they're feeling, acknowledge that they feel that way, and let it go so they can focus on the celebration. Because being psychic, I feel these. I can feel these waves of energy coming through the room. If I followed them, they would lead me exactly to the person who's feeling that. So if you're a guest at a wedding, you might want to be aware of that. All those thoughts you're thinking, you are sending out that energy. Maybe you want to shake that off a little and focus on the celebration part, that the two people that are having this are truly there to celebrate, right? And that's your job. Afterwards, when you go home, then you can sit in the energies of how it all made you feel, and maybe you have a little bit of regret, or maybe you haven't worked out some feelings you have about some events in your life. Then there's the good energies that are there. The people that are at this wedding that are so beyond thrilled for this couple that you can just feel that. It's like ripples of laughter and happiness. That is fantastic. I love when there's an abundance of that. And at most weddings, don't get me wrong, there's more of the happy feelings than there is the emotional triggers from the guests. I actually got to officiate a surprise wedding. The guests did not know that it was a wedding. The bride and the groom had done it in complete secrecy, and it worked. Some of them got suspicious just before because they were invited to an engagement party, because there was a few clues. One of them being the bride's hair being really pretty. Who knew people would notice that first, right? So note to self, if you're trying to have a secret wedding, you may want to wear a hat. I don't know. And so they pulled it off. Most of the guests had no idea. So it was interesting to me from an energy perspective, because as I was in the room and I did the wedding and then we had the celebration after, it was a very small and intimate. The archetype for her wedding was an intimate garden party, and it worked perfectly. There was not one person that was sitting at that table in that room who was not beyond thrilled for that bride and groom. A little shocked, but not one person was not thrilled. That was really interesting to me because, you know, I might have to research this, but it did make me wonder if, because a wedding has, you know, time lapses, right? There's a time between you find out that it's going to happen and you get to save the date. There's time between getting the actual invitation and attending the ceremony. And there's the details, right? The gift, the outfit, all of that stuff that makes everybody a part of that ceremony. I wonder if that's because there's the time lapses, it gives the people the time to really sit in their own energy and, you know, not always be happy about it, and not because they're not happy for the couple, but because of their own circumstances. Because this one, it was small and intimate, and there was none of that other energies. It was just happy, happy, happy. guess, the benefit of a surprise. I'm not sure. I'm going to pay attention to the rest of the weddings that I officiate, though, and see if I can find more patterns that are going on. So, because I'm by myself today and I need to have a drink of water, I'm going to play a commercial. I'll be right back.
Are you wishing to change your life? Do you feel stuck in patterns? Are you exploring who you are? The Psychic Cowgirl has answers. Soul sessions dig deep into energies to look at your situation and provide tools to move forward. Perhaps you have some past life vows, some soul contracts or karma you are working through. A soul session creates a soul cleaning and clearing. You will get to see future possibilities and timelines. You will feel empowered and inspired for your unique journey. All sessions are guided by your spiritual team. For more information, visit psychiccowgirl.com. That's psychic, P-S-Y-C-H-I-C, cowgirl, C-O-W-G-I-R-L.com.
All right, and so I'm back. One of the best parts about officiating a wedding is the energy of the ceremony. When it comes time that the bride and the groom are standing in front of me and we have their wedding script that they've picked and we're doing that part, it feels such high vibration. It feels so magical as they're looking at each other and they're repeating these vows and just making that commitment in front of everybody. It's really, really energetically big. I don't know how else to describe it. And then, of course, I get to feel 10 feet tall when I say, by the power vested in me part, my favorite. But it's amazing to me how the energy of this ceremony kind of takes, and the event kind of takes a life of its own. And if you can tap into that, you can make it the best event ever, right? So here's what happens if you're having a wedding with me. So first we get to have a conversation on what your wedding means to you, what, you know, is important to you to include, how you want to handle some of the things like guests, who is in your wedding party, because that can be for sure tricky, right? Deciding who's standing up there with you, because not everybody gets to. And, you know, there's a lot of energies of hurt feelings that can happen. And you have to, like, weed through that and do what's best for you, meanwhile juggling not wanting to hurt people's feelings. It's a lot that goes on. And so we discuss all of that first so that I can get a feel of how you want your wedding to unfold. And then I send you information where you get to pick the type of ceremony you want. There's choices. You get to pick any readings you would like to include. Again, there's choices. You get to pick your own vows. I do give you choices so you have a starting place, because it can be completely overwhelming if you don't have a starting place. And then we go from there, and we have conversations and emails, and if things come up that make you upset, that's when you talk to me. And I help you walk through it, see it from a different perspective so you can handle it all. I'm not just your officiant. I end up being your counselor too. Because stuff happens, right? It's an emotional day. And, you know, when you're dealing with people, it's just how it is, right? Any type of group thing, doesn't matter if it's a party, a wedding, an event, there's always conflicting personalities and things that go on. Everybody has an opinion, and you have to, you know, work through it. The wedding planning itself ends up being a journey of self-discovery, just how it happens. And so you can either just roll with it and take all the good parts and deal with the parts that are challenging and let them go, or you can let it overwhelm and upset you, right? We all have choices. So then after we've, you know, planned the ceremony and decided everything that needs to be included, and you know have an idea of how many guests, and because I have information on all of that, so it helps you plan your wedding for those that don't have a wedding planner. But I did give all of this to my bride that did have a wedding planner, and it helped her. It helped her know what to ask and know how she wanted things to unfold. Then the day of the ceremony, actually I should say the day before, always have a rehearsal. Even if it's just a 10-minute quick run-through of what you're going to say, always have a rehearsal. I did do a wedding, and the bride had decided not to have a rehearsal because she had a very casual, you know, family get-together type of wedding, and I don't recommend it. The groom was wishing, like on that day of the wedding, that we had had a rehearsal, just so he knew where to stand, you know, how things were going to unfold. And so since then, no, I don't allow you not to have a rehearsal because it's important. Because there's so much going on that day of, you want to at least have kind of a cell memory of how this all goes so you don't have to think about it or worry about it so much. Even if it's the morning of, always try to fit in. No, don't even try. Just do it. Do it, people. Fit in that rehearsal. It's important. It's important to help you enjoy the ceremony itself because you know what's going to happen, so you're not worried about stumbling on words and stuff like that. Although that does happen, and we just roll through it. No big deal. So then the day of the ceremony, I make sure you're where you need to be. I direct people. I advise people on how to do things. I take care of those details so that you as the bride just get to enjoy your day. And I always get asked questions by, you know, vendors or people that are doing meals or things like that, and that's just my job. I'm just making sure that those details are taken care of because I automatically take that leadership role being your reverend. And people recognize that, and they will come and ask me. And don't think that that's not part of my job. I know some brides apologize to me, and it's like, no. This is how it works. I know this. I embrace this. I kind of like this. It's all good. So let me think of what else happens on your day that I want you to be aware of. Okay, came up with a lot of my friends, and actually I found this did happen to me in my first wedding. Because my in-laws were footing a lot of the bill, there was an energy of obligation to do what they wanted me to do. I'm sure a lot of you can relate to that. Do I regret it? No. Maybe I would if we were still married and that worked out. I don't know. Do I wish things would have gone a little differently sometimes? Yes, I remember after thinking that, but I was out of my element. I mean, I didn't know how things were done in that country, and I really actually wasn't that concerned about all that part. I just was concerned about the ceremony and, you know, being married and starting our life. So a lot of those details that I was asked, I found myself irritated. I found myself just going along with whatever they wanted. Probably I can freely admit to shut them up because that wasn't concerning to me. And they were paying for it, so I thought, well, if they want to do that, that was, you know, up to them. Speaking with friends since then, I have found that a lot of my friends ended up in the same position. If parents were paying for the wedding or in-laws were paying for part of the wedding, all that stuff, is that there is an energy of obligation created with money. And so they felt they had to take on some suggestions that maybe they didn't really want, but it felt like the other person really, really wanted it, who was footing the bill, and so they went with it. And in hindsight, it wasn't what they wanted. But at the time, because it does get completely overwhelming. And details after details coming at you. And you do get to a point where you're just done. Make lists. And it really helps if, before you start, you decide how your wedding is going to look and you do your very best to stick to that. And don't let the energy of obligation that can come with money turn you sideways and make your day different than what you really wish it to be. And I realize it's easy for me to say that, being an outside observer and an outside perspective. And when you're in it, it's a lot more challenging. That's when, if you've hired me, you can call me, and I'll help you say things in an eloquent way. I will help you have a different perspective on it, and maybe they can understand your point of view. And if not, I will help you with the tools to just roll with it and say, okay, I'm not going to let that bother me. It really is simply a detail of my wedding, and the real point of this is to celebrate our love. A lot more challenging than we think before we even start. I do realize that. That's why y'all have to hire me, just saying. Let me see, what else have I noticed about weddings? See, like I said, I had this all written out. I had a script. I had notes. And then I forgot to save it all. Yay me. I blame October. And I know Molly was going to listen, so yeah. No pressure, Molly. But yeah, you need to fill us in about what's coming in November. So when this, if this kind of energy pops up in November, I'm a little more ready. Just saying. So because it is October, and because if you're on my fan page, you know that I've been putting superstitions on, I will share with you some of the wedding superstitions that I came across. Some were really fascinating. Okay, the veil. This made me giggle. Did you know that the reason the veil came about, okay, so part of it was, the first part that I came across was because way back when the Romans believed in evil spirits and, you know, super, very, very superstitious. So she was being hidden from evil spirits. They had actually flame-colored veils to scare off those spirits. But here's the other piece of it that made me giggle, and I am so glad it doesn't do, we don't do this in our culture right now. The veil was also to protect the bride from the groom, who may not have seen the bride before and might not like what he sees. Isn't that crazy? So the veil saved everyone some embarrassment in the short term because the groom didn't actually get to see the bride till after the ceremony, and then, well, too late, they were married, right? I found that a little unique, let's say. The Victorians turned this veil into a total status symbol. The weight, the length, the quality of the veil was a sign of the bride's status. And so they elaborated. At least now we do have some assurance that the groom has actually seen the bride in our culture right now, and we don't have to hide the bride behind the veil just in case. It's like an icing on the cake that pulls together the hair and the dress. But yeah. Can you imagine how that would feel, being the bride or being the groom, and that veil is lifted up and you're seeing them for the first time and you didn't like what you saw? I can't imagine. Yikes. Craziness. So I have a fun one about the honeymoon also. So, of course, our wedding industry says you have to have a honeymoon and, you know, go somewhere exotic and blah, 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 and again, personal choice, but here's where that tradition started. Okay, where did it go? Oh, because sometimes the bride was actually kidnapped by the groom and married, like way, way back before they, I don't know, had cell phones and could communicate and meet each other that way. I'm not sure. Potential grooms would see a woman they liked and kidnap her to marry her. And so that's where the honeymoon tradition started, because they took her off someplace else and they got married. Again, crazy. Where are some of the other unusual ones? There was some that were a little creepy, and I'm not sharing those. If you want to read them, Google wedding superstitions or wedding traditions. I'm sure glad I live in this day and age. That's all I have to say about that. Because some were crazy. Lots of wedding superstitions and traditions started because they were so afraid of evil spirits. That's why bridesmaids, the dresses were originally, so they all looked exactly like the bride, so the evil spirits wouldn't know which was the bride to cause havoc. They were a very superstitious bunch in our history, I gotta say. So now I have some fun ones. And the groom carries the bride across the threshold to bravely protect her from evil spirits lurking below. Who knew, right? Who knew that the whole reason for weddings? Here's fun. So, brides, if you tuck a sugar cube into your glove, or the sugar will sweeten your union, or in your pocket, I guess, if you can. Might be a little sticky later, but that's okay. That'll be part of the fun. The English believe a spider found in a wedding dress means good luck. Although, I'd probably scream. According to a Hindu tradition, rain on your wedding day is considered very good luck. Okay, what else is fun? Moroccan women take a milk bath to purify themselves before their wedding ceremony. How interesting is that? Okay, the engagement and the wedding rings that are worn on the fourth finger of the left hand is because it was once thought that a vein in that finger led directly to the heart. So that's where that came from. Let me see. There's a lot of history on engagement rings, which I didn't know until, like, I don't know, a few years ago that a diamond was not the traditional. That was a complete marketing, very effective and elaborate marketing by De Beers. And that's how diamonds ended up being the symbol for engagements, weddings, and marriages. Kind of interesting. So I'm going to take another quick commercial break, and then I'm going to start taking your calls while I share wedding superstitions and lore that I've come across. So if you want to tell me about your wedding, or if you want to ask a question, I will do the psychic coaching readings. And we will start that right after this commercial.
Feeling anxious, overwhelmed, or stuck in a pattern? There's a healing crystal for that. Wish to attract more energies of prosperity in your life? There's a crystal for that, too. Shop the Psychic Cowgirl store to experience the benefits of healing crystals with the bonus of bling. If you're looking for Moonstone to aid anxiety, Amethyst to promote focus, or Amazonite to release stuck patterns, you'll find these and much, much more. The Psychic Cowgirl store has rings, handmade bracelets, and necklaces infused with extra juju just for you. For more information, visit psychiccowgirl.com. That's psychiccowgirl.com. Enjoy the benefits and bling of beautiful crystal jewelry.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. So if you want to call in and talk to me, the phone number to call is 646-478-0229. And I would love to hear from you. So call me if you have time. And I'm going to take a call right now. And it's a 720 area code. If you're listening, that's the call I'm going to take. Here's my computer. Thanks. Hello. Hi. Are you there, caller? Sometimes these computers and this studio thing has a mind of its own. Okay, so if you are calling from the 720 area code and you are listening and you didn't hear me talk to you, either hang up and call back in so I can take your call, or I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's going on. It's that kind of morning. Remember, I lost all my notes. Scheduling myself is a little crazy these days. So I will talk a little bit more about weddings, and let's go there about the family parts. How am I going to phrase this? I found with both of my weddings that it was my family that sometimes acted odd. I don't know. I guess, I don't know if they feel like they have a vested interest or something. I'm not sure. Or if there's some karma that goes on. And not just my family, like the groom's family too. It feels like out of all the people, and maybe it's because we have the closest connection to them, but they get triggered the most or have the most opinions or have the ability to make us feel uncomfortable. So I'll flat out tell you, for both of my weddings, for those of you that do know me personally, you know that I am estranged from my father. I don't think he's a nice man, and I just got tired of him always saying things to me that were cruel and just being this negative, draining person in my life. And so I just was done. I'd given him a bazillion chances. My parents are divorced because I talked my mom into it because she deserves better than living with a situation day to day that's just not healthy at all. And so for the first wedding, he found out about it. I did not invite him. I did not include him. I had no plans on it. Did he phone me or did he complain to my grandma? Now, his mom, my grandma, and I were tight. She was a very special lady in my life, and I often wondered how on earth she, you know, birthed him, but whatever. I'm grateful because I loved her. She is now crossed over, so I still get to visit with her because I can. So I can't remember if I found out from her that he was upset about not being invited or, you know, he had made a big hissy fit. Anyways, me being me and not shy, I called him up and said, "Really? What's the matter? I hear you're upset about not being invited. You and I don't talk. You don't even really like me. You've disowned me publicly. I don't know what that even means, but you've made it very clear you don't want to be a part of my life. Why are you creating these energies or having this, I don't know, emotional meltdown or whatever Grandma explained to me about this wedding?" He said to me, "Oh, she's an old lady and she's probably just imagining it all. I think she has Alzheimer's." Yeah, as you can imagine, that didn't go well. No, I didn't take that very well. I was not very happy with him, and I gave him, you know, my opinion and made it very clear to him that it was exactly those types of words were the reason he was not invited to my wedding and that I would not change my mind. If he did happen to show up, I suppose I would have let him in, but I would not have been happy about it. And I realize when you're planning these events that there might be people in your life that are like that to you, but you feel this obligation to include them because of what other people would think. Really sit in that and decide if it's worth it, right? Because if this person is going to show up and be a toxic, negative, try to ruin the day type person, do you really have to include them? that's the personal choice you get to make. And if you would kind of buckle under the pressure, or it would ruin your day to not include them and feel that people were judging you or that people were whispering about it behind your back, then that's a choice you make from your own energetic standpoint, right? Because really, you do not have to include them if it's not a good thing for you. But at the same time, you have to weigh, what are you willing to put up with? Because there will be whispers, right? I got a lecture from my in-laws about not inviting him. But I knew where I stood with that, and I just simply said to them, no, that's not up for negotiation. That's not a conversation I'm willing to have with you. So we're just going to leave it there and leave it at that, okay? Even though you're paying for a lot of this, I still get to make some of the decisions. And then my next wedding, it didn't even come up. I wasn't about to go down that road, and by that time it had been many, many years, and we just have no contact. Although I will admit this, every once in a while I do phone him. I haven't probably in about 6-8 months now, just to see if, you know, there's a glimmer of a reconciliation. I know, I'm not sure if I'm, like, completely trying to sabotage myself or if I'm just a sucker for wanting to help, or if there's that little girl part of me that has that hope that her dad would be a dad. I don't know. But I do. Every once in a while, I will call his home phone number. He's never answered yet, and I think I'm profoundly grateful about that because I'm not sure what I would do if he did. Probably just chat. I'm not very shy. But yeah, again, the whole energy of a wedding, because there's the whole, you know, tradition of the father walking the daughter down the aisle. I had my brothers do it. They did it gladly. I'm pretty sure they are really glad to get rid of me. I'm pretty sure that's what they said, too. They handed me off to the groom. Brats? Pretty sure. Yeah, now that I think about that. So, again, weddings bring out interesting energies. Oh, and yay, Molly just reminded me that Mercury retrograde started yesterday, so no wonder I lost all the information. No wonder the callers can't get through. Yay! When is this over? November something? Hopefully it's a short one. I don't know. But yay! So it's not me. I didn't do it. It's Mercury retrograde. It's messing up my computer and my phone lines. Yay! Oh, thanks, Molly. She tells me it's over on November 10th. See, I should just have Molly on the show all the time, right? Because she helps me anyway. She's my behind-the-scenes nudge person. Gives me answers when I need them. For those of you who've never had a session with Molly, you should really check that out. It will give you amazing information. She doesn't know this, and I'm going to share it with you guys, but even just 2 days ago, I had one of my friends tell me about her daughter having a session with Molly and how much it helped her figure some stuff out and understand her. Yay, Molly. Priceless. Huh, I feel better now that I know it's Mercury retrograde. It all makes sense. Because let me tell you, I was panicking. And having a panic energy before you start a radio show when you have to, like, talk, it's not the best plan. Not even. So since the callers won't work, I don't even know if the chat room's working. It doesn't seem to be as sizzly as it usually is. Thank you, Mercury retrograde, for just making us have to be on our toes that much more. Okay, so being that it's a crazy kind of day for me, I'm going to end the show right now, and we are going to do the chakra cleanse and balancing, because I know last time I did it, it made my day that much better. So I'm going to play that now, and so I'm going to say goodbye to you all, and thank you for listening, and join next week on Monday. Remember, it's Monday. I will send out reminders on my Facebook page and Twitter and stuff, but it's on Monday at 1 where Molly's going to tell us about all the energy days. So bye-bye and have a great week.
This is a guided meditation to cleanse and balance your chakras. Recorded by Shannon Lackman, the Psychic Cowgirl. With your feet flat on the floor, legs uncrossed, arms uncrossed, I would like you to close your eyes. I would like you to visualize or imagine deep, thick roots growing out the bottom of your feet, deep, deep, deep into Mother Earth. Feel yourself grounding and connecting with Mother Earth. Now imagine or visualize a white ball of energy coming up from those roots. There will be two. One ball of energy into the bottom of each foot. These balls of energy are going to travel up through your ankles, up through your shins, past your knees. You may feel a warm, tingling sensation up into your legs, higher into your thighs, and both balls of white light jump together at your root chakra. Now imagine or visualize your root chakra, which is red. We are going to imagine or visualize it as a ball of red light about the size of a baseball. We are going to spin this ball of red light until it's bright, shiny, and clean. It may now look dirty or cloudy. It may be large or it may be very small. We are going to spin it until it's bright, shiny, clean, red. Your chakra is where you worry about money and survival, so we would like this one balanced. There is no way to do this wrong. Archangel Raphael is there helping you. He is also vacuuming away all the cruddy energies that's coming off your chakras. He's taking care of it all. Spinning, spinning, spinning that ball of light. Spinning, spinning. Spinning, spinning. Great. You're doing really well. Let's spin that one a little bit more. Fantastic. Okay, now let's put that one into your body. Let's move up to the orange ball of light, your sacral chakra. Let's pop that little ball of light out in front of you, or you can spin it in your body. Either way works. And we're going to spin it until it's bright, sparkly, shiny orange. Spinning, spinning. You're doing great. Spinning, spinning. Spinning, spinning until it's bright, shiny orange. Fantastic. Okay, now that that one's shiny clean, either pop it back into your body or just move up to the next one, which is yellow, your solar plexus chakra. Let's pop out that ball of yellow light and spin it until it's shiny, bright, clean yellow. Spinning, spinning. Spinning, spinning. Great. Spin that one a little more. Fantastic. You're doing really well. Spinning, spinning. Great. put that one back into your body, and let's move up to the heart chakra, which is green. Let's spin that ball until it's shiny bright, infused with sparkles green. Again, if you are having troubles, ask Archangel Raphael to help you. Spinning, spinning. Spinning, spinning, you're doing really well. There's no way to do this wrong. Keep spinning. Great. Spin that one just a little bit more. We want it nice and sparkly. Perfect. All right, put that one back, and let's move up to your throat chakra. This one is blue. Let's spin that ball of blue light energy until it's shiny and bright. Spinning, spinning. Spinning, spinning. Fantastic. Spin that one a little bit more so we can say all the things we need to say. Perfect. All right, let's put that one back and let's move up to your third eye chakra, which is located in your forehead. This one is a darker purple indigo color. Let's spin this one till it's shiny, clean, and sparkly. Spinning, spinning. Spinning, spinning. Fantastic. Doing really well. Let's give that one a few more spins. Great. All right then. Put that one back. Let's move up to your crown chakra, located at the very top of your head. This one is a pale violet or clear color, your choice. Let's spin that ball of light until it's bright and shiny, clean, and sparkly. Spinning, spinning. It's through your crown chakra that you receive downloads of information at times. So we want it clear and open and closed when appropriate. Spinning, spinning. Fantastic. Doing great. Spinning, spinning. Wonderful. All the cruddy energies are disappearing. Perfect. Okay, let's put that one back. Now, I want you to visualize or imagine that ball of light again. And let's bring it down, down through your throat, down through your chest, down through your tummy, all the way to your pelvis. And then it splits in two. Ball of light energy goes down each leg, down through your thighs, past your knees, through your shins, past your ankles, and grounding you deep, deep, deep into Mother Earth. And then you can bring your awareness back to the room, back to yourself, and open your eyes. If you feel like you're
You have been listening to Psychic Cowgirl Radio with Shannon Lackman. Practical, insightful conversations to empower you on your personal journey. For more information, to connect with Shannon directly, visit PsychicCowgirl.com. That's PsychicCowgirl GIRL.com.